Welcome to Clinical Conversations. I'm Joe Elia. Last week, JAMA published a randomized trial on whether a poly pill, a single tablet containing fixed doses of four drugs, aspirin, a statin, and two blood pressure lowering drugs, would do better than usual care in promoting adherence and clinical benefits in patients either with cardiovascular disease or at high risk for it. We have the paper's senior author, Dr. Anthony Rogers, who is a professorial fellow and a professor of global health at the University of Sydney. Thanks for agreeing to speak with me early on your Sunday morning, Dr. Rogers.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I have a question that a couple of our readers asked, and since I'm not a clinician, I was in no position to answer authoritatively. But the poly pill contains aspirin plus a statin, and then the paper says the blood pressure drugs are lisinopril and either atenolol or hydrochlorothiazide. Is that correct?
Yeah, there were two versions of the poly pill.
Right. Right.
Each had aspirin and simvastatin. One version had lisinopril and atenolol, and another version had lisinopril and hydrochlorothiazide.
Okay, good, good. So everyone did get lisinopril.
That's right.
Good. Tell us a bit about what you were expecting from the trial, Dr. Rogers.
Well, we were expecting to see an improved adherence. I mean, there's very good evidence from other settings, not just in cardiovascular disease and diabetes, but other areas like HIV, that you can get better pill taking long term.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the real question, the real research uncertainty, was whether that would translate into better blood pressure control, better lipid control, in the face of clinicians being able to use any drug that they chose and to tailor the doses in the usual care comparison group.
So your fixed dosages remained fixed, but the usual care group could take any drugs that the clinician wanted to administer in whatever doses. And
that's correct,
okay.
Yeah. So, for example, over 70% of the statin prescriptions in the usual care group were for rosuvastatin or atorvastatin,
mm-hmm.
which are more potent than simvastatin, milligram for milligram.
Mm-hmm. The adherence, which was the primary outcome of the study, was great. There was a 20 percentage points higher overall, and that's, I guess, reassuring for patients who worry about missing doses and clinicians who are trying to get their patients the maximum adherence. And it was higher in some subgroups, wasn't it?
That's right. I mean, the benefits looked most marked in people that were having some adherence issues at baseline, or for one reason or another weren't prescribed all the medicines at baseline. And among that group, adherence benefits out of 15 months were more than double, around 40%.
40 percentage points higher.
That's right.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. After 15 months, the clinical effects, even after such an increased adherence, were modest. You noted overall about a 3 millimeter millimeters of mercury drop in systolic pressure and about a 4 milligram drop in LDL. Were you disappointed in that outcome?
No, we weren't disappointed, really. I think no one had ever done a trial like this, so you really weren't sure how it was going to pan out. And I think it's worth emphasizing that in the control group, much more potent drugs were typically used. So decent doses of the latest statins, and there were a very large variety of different blood pressure drugs that were tailored and the doses changed. So it was a very good quality control group, and getting about the same, maybe a little bit more, was I think, a positive outcome
mm-hmm.
of the poly pill group.
Mm-hmm. There were also more cardiovascular events in the poly pill group, although statistically that result wasn't significant.
Yeah, I mean, there was far too few events to really be informative.
Mm-hmm.
That stance of improving adherence being a good outcome by itself, I think is reasonable because each of the components of the polypill have been proven unequivocally to reduce cardiovascular events.
Another reader asked the question, in light of the fact that there were too few cardiovascular events to make a good judgment, they wrote, one possibly should wait for the real outcome of critical events. Perhaps the influence, and maybe the lesson here, is that the influence of the single risk factor is not of single risk factors is not so important.
Yes, overall I'd agree with the commentator that it's important not to focus on single risk factors. Indeed, the polypill approach is part of a wider approach looking at combined cardiovascular risk that's featuring in lots of guidelines internationally now. And really we would look at the changes in blood pressure, the change in LDL, really as a kind of signal that overall improvements to proven medicines is increasing.
You mentioned some sister trials that are coming, the results of which are coming due. Are these all part of the of your group's effort?
That's right. There's a planned prospective meta-analysis of three trials, each of which had the same design. And the second and third trials each involve about 600 patients, one from Australia and one from New Zealand. So we're hoping to present those results early next year.
Oh, great. All right, Dr. Rogers, you know, it's been an adventure speaking with you from Australia over Skype. the connection's not great, but the words were, and I think we've caught them all. And I want to thank you again for spending time with us on your, presumably on your morning off.
Well, thanks very much. It's wonderful to have you.
That was our 167th edition. All earlier conversations may be found at podcasts.jwatch.org. We come to you from NEJM Journal Watch. I'm Joe Elia. Thank you for listening.